NFK, the National Finance Committee for the Pacifica National Board, scheduled for Monday, August 11th at 8:30 Eastern, will be called to order, and I will call the roll. Sherry Gendelman.
I spoke with her, Mike, and she's going to be a couple minutes late. She's stuck in traffic.
Okay. Brian Tiekert.
Here.
Summer Reese. Summer, I know you're here.
I'm here. I had it on mute.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Hello, Grace. How are you?
Good.
Jamie.
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Meeting. You just got counted present. Jamie Ross.
Here.
R. Paul Martin.
Present.
Alberto Luera. Mike Martin's here. Zakai Free. And Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Campbell, welcome to the National Finance Committee. And Nicole Swaya, our executive director, is with us.
I think it's Sawaya.
Sawaya. And all this time I've been mispronouncing it. Apologies, Nicole.
No problem.
The agenda's before you all. Any objections to the agenda as it stands?
Sherry.
This is Campbell Johnson. I don't have any objections, but then I don't have the agenda in front of me because I just found out about the meeting when Grace called me.
Okay.
Sherry.
Sherry.
Two things. Campbell is from where?
Washington, WPFW.
Okay. And are you an LSB member?
Yes.
Hi.
Huh?
I've actually been trying to get him on this call for quite some time.
Oh, well, welcome, Campbell.
I'm quite elated to have him.
Okay. Are we discussing the lines of credit, et cetera, in public session?
I don't see the necessity. Do you, Sherry?
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's on the agenda, but I was actually going to pass over it. Most the line of credit and the equity loan issues are already up at PMB at this point.
Okay.
We've already voted on them. And
okay. All right.
So, yes, Jamie.
Brian, actually.
Brian, okay. I thought I was getting good at recognizing voices, but obviously not. Yes, Brian.
They do, if we could get a brief update, if you feel that would
yes,
be...
Yes, I can give you a brief update.
On these issues? Okay.
Well, the extent to which KPFA's cash is encumbered actually affects its budget planning, because we have a budget that I wouldn't recommend for a station without some reserves.
Okay, we'll get to that as long as we are conscious of the fact that we're in public session, so we need to be careful how far we take some of these issues, but I think we're okay. Let's get the agenda approved. Are there any objections to the agenda?
Mike, is there anybody, a note taker or a secretary?
Let's get the agenda approved first.
Is it possible for those who aren't in front of computers, and, you know, if the agenda's not that long, just to read off what the points of the agenda are? He sent it days ago.
I sent it out on ad nauseum, so it's pretty much the same thing you've been looking at the past couple of meetings, Summer.
Something's changed significantly. Okay.
Hearing no objections, the agenda is adopted.
Well, wait a second. I have an objection or an addition. Or at least I would like to put an agenda item for improving our revenue. I've been wanting to have that on the agenda for quite some time. I don't see it on the agenda. So is there some place that we can have that? I put forward a plan for improving revenue, and Jamie was supposed to have looked it over and made any kind of suggestions to it. So, is it possible to have, so that we can discuss that?
I'm playing this. What you're talking about, improving revenue. Are you talking about because I haven't seen any plan on that.
It's out of order at this point.
Well, it was supposed to have been on earlier agendas, and I don't see how it could be out of order. I don't get that.
Well, I just don't know what you're talking about, Grace. I don't even remember you're ever asking for it to be on an agenda. That's why I'm trying to...
And do you remember that you assigned Jamie and I to be part of a task force?
To find money for meetings.
Pardon me?
To find money for meetings.
Okay, so to find money for meetings, that would still be in order.
That's fine, but that's different from improving revenue.
Okay.
Do you want to give a subcommittee report, which I'm happy.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Alberto.
Hi.
So you are here, which...
You've reached the Sherrill family. Please leave a message after the tone.
Uh-oh.
By me, Wendy, on my cell phone, it is...
Whoever's calling Wendy, why don't you at least mute your phone?
9-3-0-5-8-7.
Who's ever calling
Wendy?
9-3-0-5-8-7.
Oh. Huh. Well, that was new. All right. The agenda's approved. Paul, do I hear your
hand
going
up? Wait a minute. Hold on. Point of order? Was this thing of an amendment dealt with somehow? Was it ruled out of order or what?
I can't hear you. What did you say?
All right. Grace Aaron was trying to put an amendment on there.
I just added it to the agenda under long-term recovery plan.
It's under long-term recovery plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Paul?
Hey, Mike.
Paul?
Yeah.
You mind taking minutes?
Okay.
You're a great
Paul's
man.
The man.
Want to reiterate that you are still a great man. You're my hero. Okay, thank you, R. Paul, for doing that. Let's move to a brief report on the short-term contingency issues, basically with Brian's questions in mind, and remember, we are not in executive session. Nicole?
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can all hear you.
Okay, great. So if I go, if I should go where I should not go, just interrupt.
Okay.
Short-term
contingency. I'm going to count on myself to do that, but a person that's better than that than I am is Sherry, so Sherry may interrupt. So.
Okay, great. Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair, if you need to interrupt. So the short-term contingency plans, both the line of credit and the equity loan, have been briefing quite a bit with the board on that and sending forward documents as they become available. They are into play. We need a quick turnaround on the LOC line of credit. Brian, in answer to your question, the collateral that will be borrowed against will be the $400,000 CD that is under the name of KPFA, but as we know, everything is under the foundation. So I guess that answers your question. The equity loan will be a slower process, and that will be against the property in Berkeley, and I have a meeting at 4:30 or 3:30 Thursday with representatives from the bank, and also an alternative loan company that the bank actually found that's more like a community redevelopment. So that's hopefully going to be a very fruitful meeting. And as I've been doing, I've been briefing the board as much as possible with pretty succinct notes and trying to answer their questions as much as possible as documents come forward. Anybody who receives a document, please turn it around if there's a turnaround requirement attached to it. Other short-term contingency plans were to migrate as many California staff as possible off of MAMC, which is one of our healthcare providers. It's quite expensive.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Migrate as many staff off of what?
MAMC. That's a healthcare provider that we have.
Okay, right.
It's a PPO. Right. And in California, we also have Kaiser. And so we are trying to migrate as many staff as possible who can onto the California Kaiser Health Plan, which is an HMO, much more affordable. Mm-hmm. So the PRA staff, that national office staff, is migrating, in the process of migrating. So that'll be some short-term relief, but not much, but it's a whole process, and then that is part of the KPFK short-term contingency planning as well, which is perfectly fine in the purview of the CBA, collective bargaining agreement, and that is in the process as well, meeting a little more resistance. But ultimately, MAMC, which is the program, is actually, we just heard from United Healthcare that they're going away in a year anyway. PPOs change a lot faster, I guess, than HMOs.
Hey, Nicole, can I back you up just a little bit? We were,
yes.
We got off on health plans, and let me just...
No, well, that's just the short-term contingency, yes. Okay,
okay.
Go on.
If I could, on short-term contingency, also get you... I had circulated the final audited income statements and for June to the committee today, and maybe
the P&L.
You can incorporate that into your discussion of the short-term contingency plan as well.
Well, only in that everybody should look at the P&L. I'm sorry, Mike, what?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. But in other words, a discussion of our cash situation along with the other short-term contingency issues as
well,
today.
It's not good. It's not good at all, our cash situation. I suggest that everybody look at the P&L. It's very well done. It's footnoted. The only footnote I would change, actually, is under the WPFW. But that's something we can discuss at another time. Other documents will be coming following that. So, Mike, I don't know what you mean for me to say other than a global look at the P&L, which is, you know, we have a 1.6 million variance in the year-to-date from what was budgeted. And our year-to-date actual is not so great. So when you're looking at a year-to-date budget where you should be at 2.3 mil and your year and your actual is 726.
Wow.
And your year-to-date variance is 1.6. Right. That's why we are going into a relationship with the banks.
Okay.
Okay. So we try to circulate as many reports as possible. I think you've all been the beneficiary of that recently. I'm calling them the reality show, and I think that that's how we should approach our budget-making process as well. And let me just give you a global update on the budgets so that, you know, that will inform further your planning and tonight's discussion. We're trying to just ferret out every single possible, what I'm calling liability, but it could be like pending expense facing the stations in the national office in the next year as we build these budgets, just so that we can mitigate as much as possible any surprises that may come. So you have now a fully vetted KPFA budget with footnotes. You have a fully vetted KPFT budget with footnotes. We've done a fully vetted KPFK budget, and it was rapidly passed by the LSB after having been worked on by their committee as well. We haven't gotten that to you. That will get out tomorrow for sure. We have worked with the PRA, and we'll be able to send out our footnoted budget with regards to the PRA tomorrow or the next day. And the situation, let's see, so that's three stations, PRA, you have a national office budget. That's definitely part of all short-term contingency. I'm not sure where we stand on that. We've found another little different way of reporting something, and that will interface with the PRA budget, so we'll explain that when it comes time to vet that budget. And you'll have, you know, if we get it out by tomorrow or the next day, then you'll have until next Monday. You'll have time to look at it. Let's see. On to WBAI. We got a preliminary, rather rudimentary budget from the general manager, a good effort. What we've done since then is sent him a template and let him know that we're there to work with him. I've made a list of the contingencies and liabilities that could be coming up next year. Definitely bleeds into the next fiscal year. And so we'll be taking into account that. And then Lynn and Stephen and I will be working with Tony. This week we have appointments booked. And we hope to get that to you by the end of the week and to the WBAI, you know, then of course the LSB as well. And that will be in the template. And that, too, you know, as I said, we're trying to list out all the pending liabilities as well. Then we have WPFW. Excuse me. We have WPFW, and we've been sending emails to Robert and Ron, and heard back from Robert, and we haven't got a budget from them yet, but I did send them a list of contingencies as well that they need to incorporate into the budget. And we'll hopefully be talking with them this week and working with something on paper. They have some contingencies facing them as well. All the stations do. And this also ties into their capital campaign and also ties into a reconciliation of the gala. And that should be coming out.
Reconciliation of what?
The gala.
The gala.
The final reconciliation.
The gala. Okay.
The gala. Yeah, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry for mispronouncing it. The gala. So we think everything's in by now. So we're in the process of doing a final reconciliation on that, because that has a lot to do with the second disbursement of the gift, and then also where the gift is at now, and then planning for a capital campaign, raising that money for their pending move.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Wait a minute, hold on. You got to ask for. Okay. I don't even know who this is talking, but we got to have a stack.
Okay.
Let me just get through my list, and then I'll take questions, and
okay.
That would be great. Some of the, for example, just when I say contingency, some of the things are like this. We have three stations that are going to be doing their collective bargaining agreements, I, W, and K. So we didn't factor those into the budget, but in fact, they come with hard costs. They come with legal fees. We don't know what's going to be brokered at the table. It costs time and money. So we have to factor in some kind of percentage. The other is healthcare. We factored that in, but that is switching up daily. And at each site, it's planning on going up 12 to 18%. This bleeds into the CBA, to the collective bargaining agreements. This bleeds into, you know, staffing. I mean, healthcare is a huge cost. And Pacifica is very, very generous, incredibly generous with its healthcare. So that we are going to be speaking, actually, the HR director, myself, and Lynn, the controller, assistant controller, we're going to be meeting soon to discuss how we're going to move forward with United Healthcare, which is the PPO provider. And because Pacifica is a national organization, you know, we have staff in four different states. And so, again, California benefits with the Kaiser HMO, but the others, we have to provide it, and so then you get into more of a PPO or a cafeteria plan. One of the things that we are thinking of is using the Kaiser benefits as a baseline and basically then reimbursing employees that baseline amount, and then they can use that towards their purchase of health care. Now, in many, many organizations and government entities, et cetera, they do this under what's called a cafeteria plan. And you get a certain amount of money that you can push to things that you select. So we're just looking at that, trying to find what are options out there and what is the healthcare situation going to look like. So we'll keep you briefed on that. But it does impact the bottom line, and it does impact these budgets. What else can I brief you on?
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get into actual budget work, and I'd like to, if there's no objections, Chair would like to lay out the KPFA budget for consideration and discussion. Nicole, I know you are limited on time tonight, so I'd like to get, we have two LSB-approved budgets. I'd like to get them both laid out tonight and open for discussion, but I need to do that one at a time. So I'd like to lay out the KPFA budget, recognize Nicole back for a presentation of the KPFA budget.
Well, I think it's really important to read the footnotes. And, you know, Brian can help me here. I think it would be interesting to hear Brian's presentation as well. I'm bringing up right now the kind of footnotes section. And I would say overall that, you know, there are a lot of assumptions here.
I mean, look at our footnote number 6. We understand that the major gift...
Wait, I'm still trying to find your footnotes.
I'm trying to find the file.
They're on a separate document, and that was sent with when I sent the KPFA. And it's called, the name of the document is KPFA FY09 Budget Footnotes dot doc.
When was it sent?
Otherwise, I can bring up the budget, and we can work from that.
Well, I'm looking at the budget. The final budget is what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yes, Paul.
Can I find, when was this sent so I can find it? It was sent in an email, right? So I need to...
Yeah, it was sent, Paul, and prep. It was sent before, not the last meeting, but the meeting before. I'm not at my work computer, but that...
Around July 29th or so?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look for that. Thank you.
Let me ask also, this is Campbell Johnson, if you could have it sent to me.
Campbell, I'm going to need your email address, which is something
okay.
I've been trying to find for some time.
Should I give it to you now or later?
How about later?
Okay.
Just before we get off the phone.
Campbell, if you rattle it off right now, I'll email it to you while we're talking.
Well,
if you don't mind,
I can't
rattling.
Go on. I'm on dial-up today.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't be able to go online anyway.
Okay, so we've got the KPFA budget fiscal year 2009 up, the actual budget, and I think that's the appropriate document to work from. So, Nicole or Brian, if he wants to chime in.
Well, maybe we should just take questions. I don't know what your process is for doing this. Anybody that's done this before, I don't know what your process is, so... You have a very you know, it's very well done for one thing, and it's complex. It's one of the larger stations. For me, a lot of it is more, you know, as I look at it from my position, it's I worry about some of the assumptions.
Can you be more specific about what you mean there?
Yes. I think there's a great assumption on some of the fundraising that's going to happen. And for that, I go back to my footnotes. But they've been successful. They've been holding their own. But again, I think the assumption that as soon as you get a development director in, that you're going to see a major increase, we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Do you want me to do a quick rundown and then...
Why don't you?
So I guess this is Brian. The salient feature of the budget is that this is a break-even budget. There's basically no money on the bottom line, which is the first time we've done that at KPFA since I've been involved. Out of a budget of about $4.5 million in revenue, we're budgeting a surplus of just over $3,000. Which is nervous making. The trends we're dealing with is that our fund drive revenue plateaued about a year and a half ago and has been slowly trending down. And that many of our expenses rise faster than the rate of inflation, healthcare being the big one. We have a large staff roster. 12% healthcare increase adds up to about $60,000. So even holding still on revenue wouldn't be good enough for us. The way we get to a break-even position, per national office directive, we've eliminated all travel out of next year's budget, basically no conferences for anyone. We've eliminated just about all consultant fees. That was, I believe, close to a $50,000 ticket. And we've made staff reductions totaling about $129,000. That'll be patched together from part-time positions, but it'll be roughly the equivalent of 2.5 full-time equivalencies.
2.5 FTEs.
Somewhere in that vicinity. I actually don't want and don't get details on who's on the chopping block. In the past, management has manage those kinds of things pretty gracefully with attrition of positions that turn over. So we just get a number from them. The thing that makes me nervous as Nicole said is that we may not be conservative enough in our forecast assumptions. When you do the year-to-year comparison, it looks like we are dropping down our listener support quite a bit from this year, but that's a little bit of an illusion because this year we have extra fund drive revenue because our fall fund drive we bumped up to move it out of election season. So some of its income's hitting in this fiscal year. So we're showing extra money this year. Really, our listener support, we're dropping the drive goals a little bit, but we're also counting on a slightly higher net on some direct mail income to offset some of that.
If I could add in.
Yeah, please.
So leading in, rolling into this fiscal year, right, this budget, what Brian just mentioned was that KPFA decided to do their fall fundraiser in September, so that's the last month of the fiscal year, rather than October, which is usually when the stations do it. So you start a fiscal year with a big old cash flow. So that's why this fiscal year is going to look robust at the end, robuster than it really is.
Right.
The summer drive, the mini drive, while the listeners totally appreciated the fact and let the station know that they preferred, you know, just the announcements, the push to the web, and then just a few days intense fund drive, and then coming out, push to the web. It didn't make the projected goal that had been built in the budget or whatever. Made enough to get, you know, to keep them okay, but it did not make the goal. And we're seeing this trend throughout. I'm very nervous about the other mini drives as well.
How
so rolling into it, you know, you don't want to overdrive, and we're seeing weakening all through the system.
What's the percentage, Nicole, of missing the drive goal? Because this budget has a 7% reduction.
Right. I think in the summer, what was it? The goal was 180, maybe it was 200,000 that had been set, and they got in at about 180. And they
definitely net a lot.
They net a lot. And the other thing that they started with this fund drive was to decrease the premium, really do an online push. And when you're online, your net is pure. So that's what's good. It's baby steps. These kinds of transformations take a while. But, again, it's not like, ooh, you know, killer, making it killer. It's not. The other thing is that there are still some, while KPFA will get a bump from CPB this year for a mistake that CPB made, you know, they'll have a little bit of cushion. It's a one-time only. They will have that cushion. That's grateful. We're grateful for that. That's $90,000. And that's an additional bump for CPB's mistake. But there's also still legal stuff that's pending out there. And you never know how that stuff goes. They still have two savings accounts and strong cash in bank. Their cash operating is getting down, as are all the stations. Of course, we've been through the thin period on top of not doing well. Brian, you want to jump back in?
Yeah, I mean, you've basically hit it. We may not be being conservative enough in our assumptions, and our only wiggle room is a contingency line, which we put in there at about $90,000 to handle unforeseen legal or capital expenses. Those would be one-time costs. The way I've approached it is that our current management at KPFA has been very responsible in terms of trying to cut our expenses when necessary, and that with the reserves we have the room to make a course correction if the fiscal year's actual performance doesn't meet our budget assumptions. And I have confidence that this management will do that. So I think it's a reasonable budget to proceed with, assuming we can count on at least a couple months of the cash we have in the bank not getting diverted to other purposes in the network. And that was the concern I raised earlier. Overall,
well,
pretty...
Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, overall, I think it is a pretty prudent budget. All the detail is laid out there for those of you who want to see it. The other assumption we made going into it is that we absolutely under no conditions want to increase the number of days we spend fundraising on air. So we will not be pumping up the station's revenues by dragging out the fund drives any longer than we already have. We're budgeting at 55 days of fund drive. This year it will have been 58. If the bud drives are lacking a little bit, the annual total might go up a few days, but under no circumstances is KPFA willing to go beyond 60 days of fundraising a year. So that's
one area
that we put ourselves under.
I've got a number of questions, but I want to make sure
I just want to give us a global perspective as well. And this is something that I told the PRA because it is something we're going to have to do with the PRA, which is we should mind these budgets, and we should not feel they are set in stone. And when we start to see that things are slipping, we need to take action. I'll just say that. Okay, let's do questions.
Okay, I've got questions, but are there any
Jamie?
Other? Jamie, why don't you go ahead and start? Jamie,
Sherry.
Anyone else? Jamie,
Sherry.
And Sherry. Okay, Jamie and Sherry.
Okay, thanks, Brian and Nicole, for presenting this budget. It's a very well, the document's very complete, and it was very helpful to have such a well laid out document to look at. Let's see. One question I had trying to look through the development page.
Oh, the ugliest page in the budget.
Yeah, well,
KPFA is not, by the way, responsible for that template spreadsheet.
I know, it was kind of rough to check it out. But the one thing, tell me if I read this right or if I read this wrong. What I got out of this was in FY 2008, you got or you're supposed to get $32,000 in direct mail, and in FY 2009, you're budgeting $192,000 for direct mail.
Jamie, do you have the spreadsheet in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too.
And would you guys refer me to line numbers? Please
okay,
refer to line
numbers. Okay, let me see. Brian is very correct about the aesthetic appeal of this stuff. Let me see here. Telemarketing? Sorry.
Are we on the development page?
The development?
Yeah.
Yeah, direct mail income. Yes, here I am. This is
what
row,
line number?
Line 31. And if you see line 31, it's divided into four quarters, and you compare December 07 holiday mailing, I guess there wasn't one, but you have a November 08 holiday mailing with a net with a gross income of 50. Then a second quarter mailing, January 09, with a net target income gross of 50, and that compares to fiscal year 08 with a gross income of 60. Then in February 09, there's another one, January 09 and February 09. Tell me if I'm reading this wrong. You have a gross income of $56K in the new budget as compared to $11K, what came in 2008.
Yeah, so you're right about us skipping the holiday mailing. What we experimented with this year was doing an online push. They were looking at how direct mail costs were going up, and we've seen very good trends in our web giving. We were wondering with an email push and on-air reinforcement if we could get a lower gross but equivalent net result out of asking people to donate at the end of the tax year. We didn't. We did pretty okay, but the net was not as favorable as a direct mail campaign would have been. So we will be returning to that. And this year, that got booked on our web revenue line instead of direct mail, because that's where it came in through.
Where did that money get put the current year?
Web income, I believe.
Oh, okay. Do you know which line? Now, which line is web income? Because I'm looking at, just to tell you what I'm looking at, I'm looking at lines N41 and O41 on the development sheet. N is 2008. It says $32,953 is the net income from direct mail. And FY09, you have $193. That was one thing that jumped out at me as a big step up.
Are you talking about on the development spreadsheet?
Yes, that's where he's
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
N and O 41 are blank fields in mine. So
N and O, we, oh, 40, 40. I'm sorry, not 41. Net income.
Line 40 on the development page. Net income.
Gotcha.
There are blanks for certain quarters, but Jamie's question was one of mine. It's right on point. How are you guys? Where's this coming from? 193 to 33 from last year.
Well, the holiday mailing
assumption.
The holiday mailing is the big push. That's been our most lucrative drive in the past years, and I believe they added another drive into our direct mail appeal into our calendar of appeals.
I don't want to step on Jamie, but to follow up on his question, I mean, you basically the budget's revealing in 08 about a $35,000 income for this line item, and you've jumped it to 190.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what's the justification for that? What's the expectation for the income, and what's your evidence that you're going to get it?
Yeah, so...
go ahead, Brian.
I've told you what I can. Now, if you want more detail, I think that's totally reasonable. You're not going to get it from me, though. We should ask for a narrative explanation from KPFA's general manager and defer this to the next meeting of the committee. Because she's the one with the detailed direct mail calendar.
Right. If I can speak to holiday mailings, are traditionally the strongest, and they tried an experiment, it didn't work. So I think that mailing will be strong and will net what it's projected. I think overall, mail is softening everywhere. Although we had at the national office a really strong success on the one mail drop around, you know, the conventions, but any acquisition mail and any more general mail has just been tanking and actually running a deficit. I think that this is one of those assumptions that I was talking about early on, where in bringing in, you know, expenses go up, but also in bringing in a development director, that all development efforts will go up. So it is a big leap. They felt they could defend it when we worked with them. We did footnote it, not necessarily the direct mail, but some of the assumptions.
Okay, I don't want to step on Jamie's point, but what I'd like to request, and I'm going to be making a list for follow-up points to carry on the KPFA budget, and the first request that the NFC is going to make is that for line item number 40, that an explanation and justification for the line item be made.
This is line 40 in the development sheet.
The development sheet, correct. Okay, Jamie,
basically all the mail,
right? I had one follow-up question about that. I'm just curious for my own edification. Brian, with these mailings, do you guys send it out to, like, old donor lists or current donors, or do you buy lists, or...
We haven't done acquisition mailings. We do renewals. We do end of tax year mailings to people who are up to date on their dues. We do last member mailings.
So they're basically to like KPFA people.
Oh yeah. We're not mailing your listeners.
Right. No. I understand. I understand that. I just wondered because BAI. I'm just curious because BAI has done similar items, but we've not been so. We've gotten like 30 or 40,000. I don't know. Haven't done it as thoroughly as you guys have.
The end of tax year one tends to be the best for us of all of those. I mean, the lapsed member mailings are profitable enough to be worth doing, but they're lower net.
Right.
And the renewals are slightly higher net.
Okay. All right. I guess that's my question. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Sherry.
This is a little bit back, but it relates also. It was my understanding in terms of the LOC the equity loan, that we were going to look at property in addition to Berkeley property. So at some point after we leave there, or you could maybe just answer me now on that, Nicole.
Of course, that's not the LOC. That's the equity issue. Remember, that's a different...
Right.
The equity loan? Yeah, well, that'll take some time.
I just understood you to say that you were only looking at the Berkeley property.
This meeting coming up this was the directive. Also look into an equity loan with a fair as quickly as
turnaround as we can. I can't be in Los Angeles and Houston. So that's also where the other actual property is.
All right.
Unless we want to, I mean, I'm going to have this meeting on Thursday with a community redevelopment group that actually Wells Fargo gave $10 million to. And this is what our banker, Ken, felt was really a good place to start rather than going to them for both things, both the LOC and the equity loan. We have to then, you know, there's all sorts of issues. There's appraisals, and the appraisal takes at least, you know, a few weeks. Then there's an environmental report that has to be done. I don't know if anything like that has ever been done down in Los Angeles, an environmental report. Probably there was one when the building was bought. I don't know.
They didn't do those back in the 60s.
Houston's a whole different. They probably didn't, but that they do them now.
Right.
So all that is very involved, and we need somebody on the ground there.
You know, I just have a comment to make. I thank Brian and Lois and Nicole, or everybody that actually worked on the budget. It is a balanced budget. KPFA has always, or at least in my association, in the last few years, demonstrated a real fiscal responsibility. And I am really worried, again, as a member of KPFA and the National Board, that the National Board are going to take decisions that might destabilize KPFA by using it as a cash cow without imposing similar fiscal responsibility on the other stations. So just want to put that out there that it is enormously distressing for me, and I have my... You know, I'm just poised to protect the network from not destroying a really well-structured and sound member signal area. And thank you, Brian, for your incredible work of the budget, too.
Well, right. I think that points to the basic philosophy that we have to keep talking about, which is, are we a network or are we five stations? And I also think that, you know, it's not just right now that KPFA has been used as a cash cow, but at times other stations have. And actually, the national office has been used as quite a cash cow because central services that come in has gone to cover two stations. So, yes, we don't want to see KPFA weaken, still has reserves. I concur with Sherry, the chair, that they have had good fiscal oversight and that they have kept tight reins. We are to be, you know, using them heavily for the conventions as they are underwriting it heavily.
Okay, let's get back to the line items.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody else chime in, so I'm going to ask a few questions while people are still simmering on this. I want to go to line item number 104 in the budget, which is LSB elections, coded 6595. You all budgeted $27,740.
Yeah.
All with me?
Mm-hmm.
Is that on the full budget?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Full budget.
The full budget tab. And what was, excuse me, Mike, what was the number again?
It's line item 104. And you all have budgeted $27,640 for fiscal year 2009 when we spent twice that in 2007 and 2008. What's your explanation for that?
Well, The costs spread across two fiscal years, which they don't in 07 and 08, because since you have one in both years, you effectively pay for a full election in both years. But we'll book partial costs for the election in 09, and part of the costs will carry over into 010.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because don't we actually conduct the election in 09, in the fall?
In the fall, which is the line of the fiscal year.
Huh? I'm sorry?
In the fall of 09, which will start 09-010 fiscal year.
I got you. Okay.
I should say that on that line, in the past, we've budgeted according to the number we were given by Pacifica's CFO, and his estimate this year was $17,000. And we went and reviewed in detail all the bills and contractor fees from the last election and also the new calendar for elections, and came to the conclusion that he was asking us to under budget. So we increased it a bit on our own initiative to make sure that we were safe on that line.
And I would point out for purposes of whoever's listening in that context that if, you know, we as the National Finance Committee requested the Elections Committee go into emergency session to come up with a plan to reduce this cost. And I promise you that we will continue to remind the Elections Committee that we're hopeful that we could do something about that line item and create some additional cash back.
Hear, hear.
Next question I had dealt with legal. And I, quite frankly, I'm sorry, I've been looking and had been looking outside of the capital budget where I see a line item for contingency legal, but I don't see a line item for legal in the anyplace else. Am I missing it?
Under administrative expenses, line, hold on. Professional services legal,
oh, yeah.
Line 6530?
Yes, legal admin.
Professional services legal, ah.
Which, what
okay.
sheet is this in?
This
it's
is
an
the
administrative
sheet.
Worksheet.
Administrative worksheet, it's main budget.
Okay. 6530.
Line item number 90.
6530.
Under admin worksheet.
Line item number 95. Line item number 95.
Row number 94.
Now, you've got $25,000 budgeted here in 2009. A couple of questions.
Sure.
In the context of our legal, did somebody consult with Dan?
Yeah.
On that number?
What we do is we budget routine legal expenses on that line, and then we try to leave room on the contingency line in the capital section of the budget to handle one-time legal expenses. For instance, we have some disputed bills. We don't know if we'll be paying them that fiscal year or not, but we've left the room on that line in the budget.
Okay,
to
so
be
that
able to
is
pay
line
them.
48, right?
That's in the cash and capital section.
That's,
I don't believe.
Yeah, that's under capital and
numbers.
Right,
contingency
under
legal capital,
1510, capital improvements, and it's the very last one, contingency legal or capital. It's actually kind of bifurcated.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
90,000 contingency.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting and what I'm really thinking about in the context of that line item is not just legal expenses, which are really shouldn't be a contingency because it's a known. I mean, a lot of the old unpaid legal bills are known liabilities. Are those budgeted in here, or how are we handling that?
Well, once they're known liabilities, they're accrued as liabilities. They're actually on the books from a couple years ago. So we put it on the cash and capital sheet because we try to get the budget back to cash. So if we're expecting to actually pay the cash out next year, that's where it belongs because it's already been accrued.
And is that line 48, line item 48?
The cash and capital section, they don't have
no,
line
it's
item
not
number.
Line 48.
It's
it is
row
cash
185 on the
right.
Full budget tab of the budget.
85?
Mm-hmm. 185. It's at the very bottom of the worksheet labeled full budget. So to clarify, KPFA has no active litigation against it right now.
Yes,
we're
it
not
does.
Budgeting for any active litigation.
I thought it did.
It
no.
does. It
oh.
does. Excuse me, Brian. It does.
Oh, okay.
KPFA does, and this is one of the contingencies. I think we even footnoted this
mm-hmm.
on the footnotes. Very difficult to get an estimation, but yes, it's not necessarily full-blown litigation.
Mm-hmm.
One is a
okay,
carryover.
The very best I can do, that's as far as I can take that question outside of executive session. So I may have a follow-up, but you all have vetted this with Dan. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Our business office doesn't budget that line without consulting corporate counsel.
National office has not vetted this with Dan.
Okay, but local has.
Mm-hmm.
So line item 186 has been vetted with Dan. Okay.
The Brian, you said something at the beginning of your presentation that caught my ear, and as I was thinking about something else, you said, did you say to the committee that this was the first time that KPFA was actually offering a balanced budget? Is that what I heard you say?
Operating without, proposing a budget without a substantial surplus.
Oh, without a substantial surplus.
That's right.
Okay. But it is a balanced budget for as long
it
as...
It is a barely balanced budget.
Well,
with
and that
kind of
gets into my next question. You have... Your budget has reduced or is contemplating a reduce in the fund drives of 7%, right? 7% fall in revenue in fiscal year 98 for fund drives.
Let me pull up our fund drives tab.
That would be the first tab. So I'm getting this off the summary of operations, the cover page, under item number, row number 9.
It's looking like about $180,000 on the gross pledge.
Okay.
Would be less on the fulfilled pledge.
Okay.
But don't forget, the listener support line is not exclusively fund drive revenue. That's fund drive plus direct mail plus telemarketing is how that gets booked. So if you want detail on fund drive revenue, go to the fourth tab in the budget, which is fund drive. It has historical data on our fund drive performance.
Right. I saw that, but it doesn't have 2007 in it. Where am I?
Yes, it does.
I'm missing it then.
Got
two.
Oh,
yeah, it goes all the way to 05.
It's
the tab.
Yeah.
All the way to 01.
Right.
Yeah, it goes all the way to 01. I'm sorry. It goes all the way to 01.
Let me ask you this, Brian, not as KPFA, but just as the person who has any seniority on this committee. I like this format of documenting fund drive summaries as far back as you can. Are we doing that has that been done on any other budget, or is this standard operating procedure?
Sure should be.
Should be, but have you seen it in the past on other budgets other than...
No. Here.
It is Chingo and Brian.
So
we're trying to get there.
Okay. Fund drive histories. All right.
I'll just say as a general principle of evaluating budgets and asking whether a station's in a financial sustainable position or not, it's important not only to look at what they're budgeting and how that trends, but how many days of fundraising it is taking them to raise the money, because I think there is a tipping point you cross when you spend too many days on the air fundraising, where your fundraising is driving away the listeners that you need to ask for money. And we all do this dance in public radio where we know that when we go into fund drive, we are driving down our audience, and that we're going to spend the next 3 months trying to run those audience numbers back up so we can drive them down again asking him for money. But I think most of us are quite close to that tipping point at somewhere between 50 and 60 days. I'm concerned New York really needs to substantially reduce its amount of days on air fundraising.
Okay, so you're estimating...
Anyway, I'd like to point to a few things in this. Number one, KPFA is very precise. This is not true at all the other stations. KPFA is very precise in being able to nail their fulfillment rates, you know, parse it down to 0.92%, right? I mean, look at how parsed down it is. So that means that system is well in place. Look at how high their fulfillment rate is, and yet they can soften. So that's just a comment, Mike. It would be great to be able to get this from each station, but not each station is as precise or has the systems in place or has the cumulative history that hasn't been somehow broken or maybe parts of it missing. Who knows?
Well, that'll be something we explore.
Absolutely.
Jamie, could I comment on that question?
Yeah, who was that?
Jamie.
Go ahead.
Yes, just to follow up on that point, I think, you know, I agree with everything Brian said there. And, you know, this information is in the MEMSIS system, which should be accessible from, you know, years past if one digs it up.
Yeah.
If one has the expertise in-house to be able to not only maintain it. I mean, you don't know, it should be in there, but you just don't know how well-maintained it's been or how precise it's been. And
okay.
I think this really dovetails into the election costs, because I read some of the reports by the election supervisor, and so often it was about the duplications and the weak membership lists and
on and on and on, and that costs money.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a backbone
well,
for a lot of operations.
Y'all should, I mean, you should feel free to lean on our MEMSIS guy, Chris Stelic, a little bit. I know he's provided technical support to other stations before, but he knows it backwards and forwards, and to get good data out of MEMSIS, you need two things. I mean, you need a good regimen for putting the data in. You need a regular rotation for cleaning up the list and deduplicating duplicate entries, and then you know how to need to know how to do nuanced reporting, and that requires some detailed scripting to get the customized reports out of it. He's got all those scripts.
You also need a committed person to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the tab on fund drives, and I guess this is my source of confusion. If I look at the tab on fund drives, I see that you all are budgeting for or anticipating or predicting $2,031,376 in fund drive revenue actual received for 2009. Your actual receipt for 2008 was $2,059,065. So you're basically coming in even with that. But as I look at your summary page, I'm confused because your summary page indicates a variance of $223,000 or a minus 7% on listener support. What's the difference? What am I missing?
So the difference is that our fall fund drive this year, which normally falls in October, we've decided to calendar in September for a variety of reasons, the main one being we think it will do better if it is not in conflict with the height of the election season. Also, we want to go head-to-head with our main audience-sharing station, which is our local NPR affiliate, KQED. In the past, we've done better on fund drives when we go head-to-head with them because basically our listeners have nowhere to run to.
Well, that's a strategy, and I used it well against A.
Thanks, Nicole.
Always, Brian. Always.
The effect of that, though, Mike, is that we start the drive on September 15th, which is 15 days before the end of this fiscal year. And because we run credit cards as soon as we get them with the pledges, some of that income falls in this fiscal year. So when we do a forecast for this year and we say what money is going to have come in, we show that. But when we show you an actual, so effectively this year we have four drives plus a little extra, right? But when we show you a calendar of four drives in the calendar year, which is what you're seeing on that tab, this should give you a better sense of how we're trending the fund drive revenue.
See, I guess, and I think the important point to be made, especially to the board, and perhaps a footnote on this point should be made, just because it suggests just at first glance, and my first reaction to it when I read it, when I read the summary of operations tab, was that you were anticipating $223,000 less in listener supported income from your prediction of 2008, when in fact what's really happening is that because of the land of the fund drive, you're splitting some of that money into the fiscal year 2008 as opposed to the 2009 budget.
Exactly.
Right.
It's confusing, though. And so I'd like a footnote on that before it gets up to PNB,
okay,
so that people understand that the basis for that. Otherwise,
James,
I think you're cutting listener support.
What's that?